Let's say you used yourself as an example of growing over 18 years.
Yeah.
Okay, 18 years. Obviously, it's 26 years since we recorded Pride.
Yeah.
It's 30 years next year next year is 30 years since Fight to Survive. 30 years, that's usually what you talk about Tom Jones or Mick Jagger, but now you talk about Mike Tramp too. So obviously a human being grows during that, except for Angus and Malcolm. You know, so I am happy when those who have followed me via my lyrics and my music then and grown with that is a phenomenal reward here in that back.
Yeah.
That as they feel their own change or their own evolution or evolvement. Because it's easy for people to sometimes say, oh, you just changed it. I'm following what feels natural. It's just like what White Line did to Freak of Nature. But what people don't know until I tell them is that all the songs that I've written during those years and stuff like that have all come from the same thing. Therefore, this is not a departure for me. This is basically the full circle coming back. So all when I brought the songs into Vito for White Line, my suggestions, stuff like that, this is the form that came in. And when you hear the White Line songs tonight, you will hear the beginning. You won't hear an unplugged version of the number. Well, to you it might be, but I'm playing the original simplified Bob Dylan version.
Yeah, yeah.
In like because that is my trance background. My trance background is not Vince Neil or David Roth, etc. You know, there are that I grew up in the late 60s, early 70s with the hippie movement and all that thing in Denmark. Same thing as it would have been in England. So drowned in folk music, everything like that. So the acoustic guitar became like a pacifier for me. And that is everything that I've always started everything out with.
I'm really looking forward to hearing some of the White Lines.
Yes,
just great songs.
Yes.
And that to me is everything.
Because what you now will hear, you will hear the essence of the song. It's not covered up, not that it ever been covered. It's not drowned in reverb and stuff like this. Now you hear and even the feeling that I get when I know that people can hear every word I sing loud and clear. The storytelling has an incredible effect of feeling that. You know, it's almost like you're doing your Richard Burton on stage or something like that, delivering it.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing people being affected by that line just being sung or thinking.
And when you do the acoustic, do you find the audience is a much calmer, almost more reverential thing about the songs?
I play the right place, I'm really looking, this is a brilliant venue. It's everything that just is great about it, and then you know obviously some places you come in and in Sweden and then suddenly there's just probably getting too drunk and getting into a fight when I'm playing with the children crying and I'm saying this ain't not Rage Against the Machine. But now I mean I'm 52 but the fans are not young anymore.
We are
so now you listen
And
you know, it's the same thing that if you came back and played like a full power set, you wouldn't expect the fans to be showing the or jumping around.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, actually, please don't.
We don't need that at all. Really?
Where did your inspiration for the song, the new songs, come from? On Cobblestone Street? Because I mean, there's all sorts
really
of
not. I mean, I don't really draw the inspirations for any place except for that it comes from. I've always been just sitting in the cows and the acoustic guitar, and there really ain't anything more to it. And obviously, you know, the press release only explains so much.
But
the thing is, when I went in to do this album, I didn't go in to do an album.
Right.
Call my friend up, Soren, who'd worked with me on this album. Only Soren and I were in the studio, nobody else. I says, I need to hear new music coming out of speakers. And I'm not the kind of person that sits at home and make demos.
Right.
I know the song, and it's in me. So he says, you know, like, every time you and I work together and we talk, we all have the same favorite bands. We love everything from Ryan Adams to Led Zeppelin to everything like that. But we always, sometimes, you know, we don't ever follow it up and have the guts to just say less is more. Why don't you just sit down with acoustic guitar and sing live and do exactly what you did when you wrote the song?
Mm-hmm.
So I went in there with Cobblestone Street, played the song, recorded the song, I came out, and he says, you know what, why are you playing the song? I have this piano idea. Then he sat down and played the piano. Then we sat in the couch and then we played it. And then we looked at each other and says, it's done. At the end of the first day, the first four tracks on the album were completely recorded and done. At the end of 4 days, the album was finished. And it was really just a matter of just saying, I get the message, and it doesn't need any more.
No.
Then after that, it's when I gave it to a friend of mine who has a record company, or who I've been working with, says, here's a new album.
And then I said to myself, what would happen if I now went out and played by myself? And I emailed some promoters and some people I knew around Europe, and within 3 weeks I booked 40 shows, and that's what I did last year.
Right.
So one thing led to another, and stuff. And obviously I didn't play the new songs last year. I was just introducing the whole concept, and so it just gave me a real great feeling and also a challenge for myself just to get in my car and drive 30,000 kilometers. And carrying my own guitar in a cardboard box with t-shirts and CDs and selling them after the show. I'm just going, you know what? I can't imagine myself just go one more level up when I'm pretty comfortable right here.
Yeah.
It's really a great feeling. And every night when I'm up there singing, and every night when I'm done and go back to my hotel room, I feel so rewarded. And of course, there might be some people that it's hard for you to convince that less is more and you're okay with that. But that's because they don't know what it's like to stand and play at Madison Square Garden and leave with no memory.
Yeah, it's a big crowd, but that's all you can see. Is just
it's like f***ing the best girl-looking girl in the club, but she's like, you have no, it does nothing.
Doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything. It wasn't what you thought it was going to be. Why?
And is that how you felt at the time? It was a bit.
When you've been all those different places, what was supposed to be the great thing was not.
Wow.
And walking in here and meeting John and seeing John has everything under control and the love they have for making the venue as great for the fans is something I appreciate so God. Of course, Yngwie Malmsteen would come in and says, the dressing room is not big enough, where's the champagne?
Yeah.
And I just go in and says, thank you for letting me have a place to play. I don't want to be part of anything that's just f***ing ice cold.
And it's clearly for the right reasons. You can see it, and you can see it in your eyes. You can see it, and now you're walking. You know,
and now if you took that same thing to an artist, of saying you could see it in the eyes when it's not just autopilot.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. A friend of mine who's coming tonight has been going on that. Oh, he said I didn't really know White Lion, but I've got Remembering White Lion, Mike Trumps. He said it's excellent, and I went, is it? He went, yeah, you must hear it. I went, so I bought it. And it's great.
Yeah,
it's a great record.
That's always, it's just one of those things. It's just for a moment you're in La La Land and you say, is this a good idea? And then you've done it. And you know, it's like,
it's a nice record.
You know what it is? I never got to really do any interviews on that album.
Yeah.
Because lawsuits and shit like that happened. It was not supposed. What it is that thing that maybe sometimes I've seen when people get tired of a song, they need to play it in a new version.
Yeah.
To get excited again.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm done with playing White Lion in its original form. And long time ago, I said, you know what? I know I cannot be the Mike Tramp of 1987. And I don't want to fight it, and I don't want to try to be it. And I'm much better than a lot of other people trying to attempt to just hold on to it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want the people to feel that we've grown.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not out playing greatest hits. I'm not out f***ing Tom Jones with What's Up Pussycat.
Yeah.
And you know, squeezing into a pair of fucking, you know, gabardine pants, and they just like, when I would prefer, look at Tony Bennett and look at Tom Jones and look at that way of gracefully grown. I'm not saying anything bad about Tom Jones, but it's just like, just leave the sex home now. And I don't want to imagine you having sex now and stuff like this and things like that, you know, and it's.